Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here and to be able to present God's Word this morning. We read today a passage from Matthew 14. It's about some risky behavior. And I would wonder who here among us enjoys taking a risk. Think about it. A scale of 1 to 10, where are you? Are you a number 10 skydiver, or are you a number 1, which would be, I guess, stay home and close the door and hope no one bothers you? Raise your hand. What do you got? 5, 10? I think I'm about an 8 or a 7. I'm pretty risky behavior sometimes. I like to rock climb. Okay, so thinking about risk, what is an appropriate amount of risk? Well, you know, without a risk, there's no reward. And life involves risk. Last summer, my daughters and I decided to start a business. So we were walking around a dollar store, and one of my daughters spotted it was a kit for $5 to start your own lemonade stand. And another of my daughter was also interested in this idea, and I thought, you know what, $5, that's pretty good. Let's take the plunge and start our own lemonade stand. However, it was much more than $5 that we had to raise as capital for our new enterprise. We had to borrow money from the bank, Dad, to secure a business loan for the necessary provisions, the things you need when you start a business, like cups, lemon juice, sugar, and of course, all the various other signage involved in a lemonade stand. So we spent our money and we kept track of all the expenses that would be then later reimbursed, and we headed off to various parks around the city. The first one we tried was Springbank Park. So we were already in about, I don't know, $40 of expenses, and we hauled in our table and our cups and our lemon juice and all the things, the big jar of lemonade with the ice. Of course, you got to buy the ice as well. You want cold lemonade. Can't do with warm lemonade on a hot day. So we set up there along the path at Springbank, and it was about lunchtime, and we waited. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. When were we going to get a customer? We already put a lot of money into this business, and there was nobody buying. This is where the rubber hits the road. When you're trying something new, when you're doing something that's risky, sometimes you just have to wait and see what happens. And then we had our first customer, and a second customer, and a third, and then a nice man came and gave them like a big tip of like $20. So they were ahead. They'd made back their money. They could pay back the bank, and everything else was now just the creamy profit for their lemonade stand. And we continued to do this around the city and do other escapades and continued to expand business, now with jewelry making. I mean, it's maybe a small risk compared to others, but still something to teach us about what it would take to do something new. It requires time. It requires money. And you have to be able to stomach the kind of risk involved. But the reward are there if you're willing to take it. So maybe you're sitting here today and you're the kind of person that gave a 10 on the scale and you are a risk taker. You are the kind of person that is constantly seeking out new adventures. You are have no trouble at all looking for ways of getting into danger. And maybe you are here today and you are one of those risk-adverse people that likes to play it safe. to be cautious, to not get yourself into any situations that requires talking to unusual people or traveling to exotic places. Leave that to somebody else. Well, today in our passage, we are going to find out when is risk good and when should it be avoided. And there's a hinge moment that help us decide what we should do. Now, the disciples, you can change the slide here. Disciples were people that took risk. They were engaged in what I think is a little like higher education. So in their day and age, if you wanted to get yourself edumacated, then you needed to follow a rabbi. And the rabbi would usually would wait for his disciples to come to them, and then he would kind of weed people out and decide who was good enough to be part of his group. And, you know, you continue on following this rabbi, learning from them, studying their every move, memorizing their different sayings. And the hope is, at the end of the day, is that when you're all done, then you can become, you know, a learned man. And you will be able to be a scribe, or you'll be like a judge, or something like that, you know, a teacher of the law. That was the payoff for following around a rabbi and being part of his disciples. Jesus, of course, did things a little differently. He actually picked his disciples, the ones that were kind of left out, the castaways, the ones that didn't really succeed. And they were actually doing an occupation already. They were involved in, you know, famously, we all know they were in the fishing business. Some of them were in tax collectors, a variety of different occupations. But when they decided to follow Jesus, they entered into this risk that I am currently in, and maybe some of you also are, of going and pursuing higher education for the hope that someday, maybe it's 2 years, 4 years, 5 years later, that investment of time, money, and it's a considerable amount of money, will pay off with a job. Unless you're like Doug, who just does studying for the fun of it, I think, yeah. Maybe there's a few other people, but I'm not one of those people right now. I'm in a job, I'm in a higher education to get a job. And I've entered into this risk hoping that at the end of the day, I will have a job. And so too were the disciples. Now, following Jesus wasn't like your regular university course. There was a lot more hardship on the road, and they didn't give out government grants like they do now, or even loans to be able to do this kind of work. So when they were following around Jesus, they were kind of at the mercy, I guess, of, you know, benevolent strangers and just Jesus being able to provide for them. They took a lot of trust that, you know, things would work out. And, you know, they definitely were, you know, able to take that risk and be okay with it. But today in our passage, they are in a new situation where they have this moment of realization that they're entering into a much greater, much riskier situation than perhaps they had bargained for when they left their fishing boats and their tax collecting and all that other things. They were now on a boat, being blown away from shore, and it was in the early morning. Their teacher, the one that had gotten them into this, was gone. He was up hiking a mountain, you know. And suddenly, they're wondering what they're going to do, and they see a figure coming through the mist. And it scared the living daylights out of them. There's this book that I've read to my daughter. It's called A Series of Unfortunate Events. It's a book called Lemony Snicket. Maybe some of you have heard of this novel. And the book describes children that are pretty well off, and they're doing great, having a wonderful time. But shortly into the book, I think about a paragraph, their parents die. Their uncle is now their guardian. The uncle wants to steal all their money. They're having to sleep on the floor. It's just one bad thing after the other. One bad thing leads to a worse thing. It's a series of unfortunate events. It just doesn't seem to get any better for them. And maybe you're feeling like that today. I certainly was not too long ago. We just got our car back from the auto body shop because someone at the end of June just swerved into our lane and smashed the back of our car. And luckily we were all okay, but then we had to now get our car fixed. And I thought, oh, this is terrible. And then not about a week and a half later, I was going on a camping trip with biking camp. It was a wonderful trip. We were biking, we camped, it was lovely. Came back and I pulled down a piece of plywood from my garage and a piece of sheet metal fell and hit back of my foot. And in that moment, I don't want to get into the gory details, but there's a lot of blood. And I was thinking, oh, great. A series of unfortunate events. Suddenly, it's gone from bad to worse. And what I wasn't scared, but I was upset. I was angry. I said, why is this happening to me right now? And perhaps you are in this situation right now when you are one thing after another has happened to you, and you're wondering, when is it all going to end? You know, your family is going through a challenge, some sickness, relationships are strained, there's financial challenges, and it's all coming at you one after another, and you're wondering, when is this all going to end? Who is going to help me? Things are going from bad to worse. And this is the situation that the disciples were in. Jesus was gone. Their boat was out on the water. There's no coast guard. There's no one that they can call up. No helicopter that's going to come and rescue them when they're adrift. Maybe they know how to swim. Maybe they don't. They're now in this difficult situation of trying to find a way back to shore, but the wind is blowing them out. And then they see, off in the distance, this ghostly figure. I say ghostly because at that time, and they really believed that if someone died on the water, that they became a ghost. So they're in their head, they're wondering, what is this figure coming towards our boat? Is Jesus died? Is this a ghost of our master, our rabbi? Things have gone from bad to worse. Now, you might be one of those people that immediately play out worst case scenarios in your mind. When things happen, your mind goes there. It's like, okay, that's got to be a ghost and we're doomed. I don't know what I'm going to do. Jump overboard. I don't know. Worst case scenario thinking. It's a human nature in a lot of ways to feel absolutely paralyzed in these situations or just try to think of, yeah, what am I going to do? Then this voice comes. It says, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Now, at least one disciple in the boat, Peter, is not so sure. He's not sure what and who this voice is. I mean, it could be Jesus. It could be a ghost. He's thinking, maybe he's the worst case scenario. That's a ghost. So he sets up a test. He says, if it's you, command me to walk on water. Okay, to be honest with you, I don't get this test. If I was like, why would I want to go out in the water and then further risk my life if it's Jesus, if it's not, I don't understand this, okay? Maybe some of you do. I think it's a bad idea. I think Peter has a very, very bad idea here. He's setting up a test for God. Maybe we do this in a lot of different ways, like Peter. Maybe we hear God's voice. Maybe we've heard God's voice, and we're, instead of being obedient, we're creating some kind of test for God. There's lots of people that put themselves, in fact, into danger just to see God rescue them. And I'll give you one example. Maybe you're familiar with this. There's a group of Christians in the Appalachians, well known for handling snakes, poisonous snakes, during their worship services. So you can imagine being here, I would be the preacher, and I'd be having a poisonous snake, and then having the snake bite them, and then praying for God to heal them from the poisonous snake. And if they died, then I guess they weren't meant to live. This kind of risky behavior exists in not too far away from here. And people do this in their lives. They will, as I said before, some people just go from one bad decision to the next, trying to create scenarios where they have to be rescued. And they're waiting for God to rescue them. It's an interesting part of the human psychology, but maybe you're one of these people. And you can really identify with Peter in this situation, who's now set up a test where he said, if it's you, Jesus, I'm going to walk on water. I said before, this is the wrong kind of test. This is the wrong kind of risky behavior. And we know this because in the Bible, Jesus actually rebukes the devil in the desert, and the tempter, the deceiver, is saying to Jesus, throw yourself off this high point, and the angels will come and rescue you. And Jesus replies that it's wrong to test God. We don't need to test God. We don't need to test Jesus. We need to trust the voice that we are hearing, whether that's reading our Bible, hearing from a Christian friend, perhaps hearing a message. We can trust these ways of God communicating with us without having to test it in any way. But even when we do something that isn't right, even when we see this constantly throughout the Bible, Gideon is one of them, even when we do something like this, God in his mercy still saves us. And this is what happens to Peter. When Peter asks Jesus, Jesus said one word, come. And then with Jesus' power, Peter does this miraculous thing. He walks on water for at least a few steps. Then he looks at the wind and starts to sink and fall below the waves. So, not too long ago this summer, I was doing some slacklining. You can cue this slide here, Kevin. There we go. Slacklining, as pictured up here, is a balancing act. Okay, it's a ratchet strap that you've attached to two different points, a tree, two posts, and you're walking on it, and you're trying to balance yourself across. And sometimes they do like hops and things like that. So I was doing this, and I was kept falling off the line. And I think it was a child came and said, "You know what you need to do? Here's a tip. When you're trying to balance, don't look at your feet. Look ahead. Look at where you're going. That's going to help you." And I tried it. And you know what? It worked. And this really applies to Peter's situation here. Peter is looking at Jesus. He's walking on water. And then His eyes divert. He sees the wind. He gets scared, and suddenly he's below the waves. He's become scared of his situation. He's lost his trust, his source of faith, and he starts to falter. We need to always look up. Don't look at the problem and all the different little intricate things and the worst case scenarios and what could happen. Instead, remember that you have with you the God of the universe, Jesus, the one who made you, the one, the power that can control the wind and the waves, and has countless of ways provided for us in so many ways. This is the God that's here among us, with you. So when you get into a situation, a series of unfortunate events, where you feel like you're sinking, keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, Peter does something wrong, but he also does something very right. In this situation, when he's sinking, he calls out to Jesus. He says, "Jesus, saviors, help! Help!" And this is a powerful prayer. It's a powerful prayer for each and every one of us. When you find yourself at the end of your rope, when everything just isn't working, then just pray that simple prayer. "Lord Jesus, help me." And God will give you the strength to get through. God will always come to your rescue. And what happens when Peter prays this prayer? Well, of course, Jesus grabs him and pulls him up and brings him to safety. I titled this sermon, "Don't Walk on Water." I don't want anyone here to go out on a boat this summer without a life jacket and try to do what Peter did. That's absolutely a bad idea. And there's lots of worship songs actually about this. There's a famous one called "Oceans," and it's like, "Give me faith to walk on water." And I was thinking about this. There's probably a lot of sermon messages also titled like this, like, "Walk on water." And we glorify Peter. The reason why I think we do this, why we have songs about walking on water and sermons about that, is because here in North America, here in Canada, we live in an individualistic society, a culture, right? And in that, we kind of want to glorify always these people like Peter. Doing amazing things. Look how amazing, you know, Peter. He fell, but he got out there. He was courageous, and he walked on water. And you can walk on water too. He says, look what I can do. Look what I can do with God's power. And that, whereas opposed to the kind of, a large group of the world, where it's about the community. It's about what the community does together through God. And, you know, being on the boat and listening to what God is asking you to do, to not be afraid, is better than to ask God for this test like Peter did and then try to walk on the water. Because we can't fall into this trap of trying to think of ourselves as so part of the center of the universe, where everything is about us. There's so much more to the gospel message. There's so much more to what God wants for us. And I was encouraged this past season here at the church because we took on risks as a congregation. We were actually tried two things by my count. We had a vocal series of training with Lawrence Williams that a couple of you attended, and that was great. And we also did a combined service with the Karen congregation, and where we sang in different languages, and we did some different things, which was also really great. And both these things are aligned with our understanding of who God is and who it means, what it means to be a church, to glorify God as best that we can, to be appreciative of the diversity here at our church. It's these kind of communal actions that really show us the faith that our church has. And I believe that this message is for the future of our church as well. I believe that this lectionary reading that I was, this passage from Matthew, because we have to continue to try new things as a congregation. We're going to have to take risks. We're going to have to do things a little differently. And to do that, we have to put our faith in Jesus. That Jesus will enable us to do things together that we haven't been able to do before. Take courage, says Jesus. Don't be afraid. So in conclusion, I want you to always, this week especially, remember that God will reward you for being obedient in every risk that you take on his account. And the greatest risk, the greatest risk that you are going to take is to love. To love well takes risk. This is because love makes us vulnerable. It opens us up to be let down, disappointed, hurt. But the reward of love is deeply satisfying relationship. Love protects us. It makes us whole. So this week, take a risk and let yourself receive the love of Jesus. Let's pray. God, this morning we think about the risks of life, the things that we have taken on many times, not knowing what will happen. And we put our trust in you because we know that in each of these circumstances, you have kept us. You have provided for us. Even when things didn't work out the way that we had anticipated, you have saved us. And we thank you for that. We pray for our congregation as we think about the future and the risks that we must take. We think about the ways that we must trust you, the ways that we must look to you, and we just pray that we can be always obedient in every matter to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.